and walk across the room, right? Like, we got some people with some major health stuff going on, right? But if you're healthy enough to steal, like, you're healthy enough to work, is the basic principle here, right? Like, if you could go steal copper or whatever, like, you could go get a job, right? Is the idea here. And maybe get a job isn't even the right frame to put on it. It's fine to get a job and make money, and that's how you share. But even if you don't have a job, doesn't mean you know, if you're at home with a whole bunch of kids, doesn't mean you can't do a work that would serve somebody, right? So it's not something useful. That phrase useful is probably worth applying to your job, right? Like, think about it. A lot of us in the room, like, that's a struggle in Maywood, right, to find good employment. But typically people are trying to find something like, can I get a ride to it? Will they treat me okay there? And the big question, like, how much money am I going to make? Like, those are the normal concerns I hear from people. I don't ever hear somebody being like, man, I've been working this job and it's easy to get there and they pay me really well, but I'm just so unhappy because I don't do anything useful for the world. I don't do anything useful for independence. I've never heard a Maywood person ever come to me like, will you please pray for me, find a job where I can be useful, you know? But there's some jobs out there that, like, you're making money, but, like, are you doing anything that's actually good? Anything that's actually useful? It's worth having that conversation. And again, like, maybe you don't just quit tomorrow, but, like, to start praying, like, God, I want to work in a way that's helpful. Please help me to do that, right? But when you do something useful, you do some sort of work. This is not the only verse in the Bible on work, so there's more reasons to work than this. But the principal reason we're given in this verse, I want you to focus on this week, is that a big reason why we work, if we've been blessed with a healthy body and a healthy mind, is because not everybody has been blessed with a healthy body and a healthy mind, right? And there's going to be people that need help. And maybe they have a healthy body and a healthy mind, but this particular week, like, they need some sort of help, right? And as a church, if you've been blessed with the ability to work, God is calling you to help somebody in need, right in our group, right? Like, we don't have to go outside of the room, right, to have somebody that has basic needs, right? But whether it's people that are here coming to Maywood or whether you're helping people just in your neighborhood, on your street, or in your house, there's the idea, right? We work so that we can share. Are you guys tracking with me so far? Some of you are like, man, I like this verse, right? Like, all those people who don't have jobs, like, get jobs or whatever. You know, like, some of us, like, there's some stuff in this that's maybe easy for some of us to like, but I want us to take it a step further of, like, how do we actually follow Jesus with this? If you were here last week, we quoted from Luke, let me see, where was this at? Luke 6:40, where Jesus is talking about a student's not above their teacher or their rabbi, but anyone who's fully trained will be like their teacher. What Jesus is pushing there, same thing he pushes in John 14, 15, 16 with his disciples, is like, I'm expecting people that are my followers to become like me, to train and become like me, right? And when we think about training, like, what is training actually? I mean, I've got this picture of wrestling up here, but training to me is like you do something about what you know, right? And so if we go to this next slide, when I was in high school, I was in the small engine repair class with this kid named James, and James won state in wrestling in Missouri. And that year, that same year, he was in my small engine repair class, and he would be carrying this Sprite bottle on days that he had to get weighed in, this empty Sprite bottle, and he would be spitting into it, right? Which was gross, right? This is gross habit. Like, what are you doing, right? And he was trying to make weight, and so he'd, like, messed his whole life up as far as, like, what he was eating, how much water he was drinking, but then he's even, like, carrying a Sprite bottle around in class, like, spitting constantly, right, to try to, like, make weight, which you might have a lot of opinions about that, but James won state. Like, something he was doing was working, right? Obviously, he'd been blessed probably physically by God and stuff, but he was also training. He knew something, and he was doing something about it, and he was gearing his whole life towards succeeding on that mat, right? That's what training is, right? You have a real place, and you're doing something to get ready, right, for that goal. You have a real goal. If you will read the Bible and how it says we're supposed to treat people that don't have as much as us, it's going to lead you into all sorts of wrestling. It's going to lead you into, like, well, I better change my life and do something different. And then it gets real confusing honestly, if you read the Bible and how we're supposed to treat people, it's confusing what we're supposed to do with all the stuff we have access to. And wrestling, I picked wrestling in particular, not because of James, but because Jacob in Genesis 32, if I'm not mistaken, Jacob wrestles with God. And Jacob, you might know, he's like the forefather of the people of Israel. But in that scene, that's when he gets the name Israel, which means to struggle with God. When God's meeting a group of people, ushering them in to become his people, there's like this kickoff moment of like, your identity is that you struggle with me. Some of us don't view Christianity that way. We view Christianity as like, I need a ticket to get out of hell. I want to get over a couple things I'm ashamed of. But when God shows up to Jacob, there's this wrestling, right? And the people of God throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot of wrestling, right? Because when God's going to take us from our selfish, broken, scared ways and make us like Jesus, his son, it's not going to be without pain and struggle. Like if you signed up with Jesus and you thought like you're going to get through life without any pain or struggle, like you were mistaken, right? Like you're not going to change the way Jesus wants you to change, to be totally transformed, right? Like Romans 12 talks about, right? Like a caterpillar to a butterfly, right? Like going from something fat that crawls along to something that can fly, right? I mean, like that's the sort of transformation he wants to do in us. And so there's going to be some wrestling. There's going to be some like, I think this is right, but I'm not sure, or God, I don't want to do that, but I think you want me to, and like a back and forth. So I'm going to take us, this is like our little deep detour. If you want some depth here, we're going to give you some challenge on what to do, and we'll get us back to some steps for everybody, right? So here's the deep detour. If we go to the next slide. Oh, wow, that was fast. So back to the wrestling, but where it's small, there we go. So I'm going to take you through three kind of wrestling points in my life and just show like how does this play out. But you can read these places in the Bible have a similar journey. So when I was 17, I got the chance to go to Jamaica, the interior of Jamaica, build a little 12-foot by 16-foot house for a family there. And up until that point, I grew up in Blue Springs. I always felt like a poor kid in Blue Springs, right? Because my parents didn't have a boat. We didn't have, you know, I mean, it was a rich area that I was living in. And we didn't have air conditioning. And so, like, I just felt like I'm poor and everybody else is rich. Well, then you go to the middle of this little island where nobody can get any work, and there's all these like super ripped guys who can like work way better than I can, and they just can't get jobs, right? Like they were working beside me, like doing awesome, but they just weren't any jobs for these guys to have. And to have a family living in a 12-foot by 16-foot house with no plumbing and be super excited about it, like when you go through that feeling like the poor kid in Blue Springs, like suddenly you realize like, like, I might be poor in my high school, but I'm, like, rich in this world, right? And then, I'd already read the Gospel of Luke. Maybe you've had this experience. You read the Bible, but some stuff doesn't stick out at all because you don't know the truth about yourself. Well, after that experience, when I read the Gospel of Luke again, I mean, Jesus is hard on rich people. I mean, it's hard to read the Gospel of Luke and be like, he's talking to me when he says rich. So, if you got a car, there's billions of people that don't. So just read the Gospel of Luke and realize like Jesus is teaching and talking about me when he says rich. And you will start wrestling with like, what am I supposed to actually do? And it's not simple. But that set me on a course where I'm trying to help some homeless people in Springfield and talk to some people. And I wind up down in Mexico for a couple years building more houses. And 2 Corinthians 9 is this amazing passage on what does it mean to be generous as a Christian. You camp out there a lot, but towards the beginning of it, it has this really wild idea that Christians that have a whole lot should share with Christians that don't have enough so that the people that have a lot don't wind up having too much and the people that don't have a lot won't be too hard-pressed. Now, why I say that's wild is when you start trying to live that out, it gets pretty crazy. So I went down to Mexico. My boss, Kurt, at the time was like, here's what I believe. I believe everybody deserves a house that's dry, that's warm, and that's safe. And so we were building these little 12-foot by 16-foot houses for families between typical average family size was probably bigger than five that we're building these little houses for. But had metal doors so you could actually lock the door and like not have creepers like coming in on you in the middle of the night or something. It had a tin roof that would keep the rain out, right? It had didn't have pallets or something. It had real walls. And, I mean, Mexico would only get down in the 40s, but, like, it was decently warm inside there, right? If you got a family in there, right? It felt like, wow, this is simple, right? Like, we're reading that verse. Let's start building the houses. But here's the thing. When I went to Jamaica, I saw people different from me. And that was really good, right? If you're only ever around people like you, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. Mexico, living there for a couple years, learning the language, eating at the same places, walking through the same mud, having to ask neighbors for help on stuff I can't do. Like, that was living with people different from me. And that was a whole different experience. And what started out, to be real clear, got real confusing, right? I remember being at this house dedication where me and a group of high schoolers in 4.5 days had ripped down the shack for a family, built a much nicer house. And we're all excited. The mom's all excited. The kids are all excited. We're throwing a party. Who's not excited? The dad who built the shack that we tore down, who's like sitting over by where that vase is during the whole party looking super depressed. And me, having lived there for a minute, realized like the one of the big problems in this town is like most of the dads are not involved and they're alienated. And I realized like, man, we just probably made this thing worse for this family. It got real messy. Like that's where the wrestling comes in. You can try to do good and still hurt people, right? You can try to follow Jesus and still make a mess of things. So you start wrestling with God about like, what am I even supposed to do? But I say this want blessing of 2 Corinthians 9, it doesn't tell you you have to do a whole bunch of giving. If you're here at Maywood, like you don't have to give money in the offering plate every time it comes around. It's not about feeling guilty. What 2 Corinthians 9 talks about, like decide what you want to do. But it also says like, but there's a blessing in really giving. And the end of 2 Corinthians 9 talks about this blessing of when you give to people and you actually know them, you can see their hearts change. You can see spiritual things change inside of them. And so in Mexico, I got to experience all that, and it was real messy, right? But it was good. I mean, I talk about Mexico all the time because it was a really good time in my life, right? So you can wrestle with 2 Corinthians 9, like what? How do I actually do that stuff? The last one I'm going to talk about, and we're going to hit it pretty quick, is Mark 4. I first came to Maywood in 2011, and the very first week after I was here, I was up north of town praying about Maywood, reading in the Bible, looking for some direction, and God took me to Mark chapter 4, the first parable in Mark 4, parable of the soils. And he laid it on my heart real heavy. And I thought at the time, like, oh, this will matter for a little while. It keeps mattering. And here's the thing at Maywood that's hard. One of the things that's hard about Maywood is the thorns that get described in this parable. So in the parable, it says there's these thorns that grow up. So some people get started with Jesus, but then the thorns come into their life. And the thorns can choke the word and make it unfruitful. And what are those things? It's dissipation, like spreading too thin. And it's the deceitfulness of wealth. And the deceitfulness of wealth, I'm not going to go into a ton today, but I've seen that at Maywood. I've seen people get over meth, get good jobs, get families. But we didn't teach them much about money, and like the lies of money like choke out the fruitfulness of their life. Like I've seen that here over the years, right? But I also have seen dissipation, like the temptation to just spread yourself so thin that God's not fruitful inside of you anymore. So what does that look like? Well, real quick story of kind of three stages. Back when I first became pastor here, Coach Bob before me and I, people would come in, ask for help. Bob and I would try to talk it through, like, what's going on? Sometimes those conversations would end with, like, here's 20 bucks. Back then, the bus used to cost money. Now we don't even have a bus in Independence, which is crazy. But, like, we used to give people a little bit of money sometimes. It seemed like the right thing to do. We're trying to help. Josh Monk, who was on our staff, I remember him coming to me and Bob one time, pulling us aside right by the east doors, just the three of us, and saying, he listed off, like, six names. And he's like, all those people bought drugs with money that the two of you have given them. Stop giving people money. There's a lot we could learn from that, right? Like, he didn't say that in front of the whole church. He pulled us aside. He didn't say it the very first time it happened. But when he watched it happen over and over, he's like, something needs to change, right? And he didn't say it like super judgmental, I hate you, you guys are terrible people. It's just you're doing it wrong. Do better, right? It was speaking the truth in love. Well, so you hear that. It does change you, right? You're like, man, okay, we need to change. But what do we do that's different? It was tried to change. I couldn't figure out how to do benevolence better with the amount of time that I had. So I started asking God, that Ephesians 4 stuff, I believe it. Like, God, I'm not meant to be Superman here at Maywood. Like, other people are supposed to have gifts. I'm supposed to equip them. And Donna Mills, Donna's not in the room today, but Donna came to me, and it was super clear. Like, here's the answer to my prayers on this front, right? Like, she had a passion and a gift for helping people in a way that really helped them come out of where they were at. And not that Maywood's totally better, but we're a lot better than we were at helping people that are in struggle, right? And it's because of Donna, right? So when you're wrestling through this stuff, somebody hopefully is going to come along and say, like, you're not doing it right, and you got to listen to them. But then at some point, you're going to have to ask God for help, and he's going to have to give you some help through some other person. Here's the last little step on that. I was going to Lance's small group. He's leading one right now, but I was going to one upstairs a couple years ago, and somebody needed a bicycle, and I could help a little bit, but I couldn't be there that certain day when they needed me to actually get the bike. And I had to tell the group, like, I can't do this. I want to help, but I can only do the first half. I can't do the second half. And Jeff Tony, who's baptized a bunch of people here and stuff, Jeff helped, and he, like, took a big chunk of his workday out and helped that guy get a bike. And it's okay for us to say, like, I know what God wants us to do, but I can't do it by myself, right? And, like, Jeff and I trusted Jeff more after we went through that experience, right? Like, we're better friends for having gone through it, right? Like, that's how stuff happens, right? Like, we figure it out together. So is that starting to see, like, the principle of how this works? Like, God tells us to do stuff, and we can't do it the way we are. Like, we have to change with him together in order to do it. But, like, if we don't start trying to obey, we never change, right? It's okay to try to obey and even make mistakes, right? Like, but we're trying to obey together, right? So we're going to get back to the practical. I've got this scene of this walking, this step. And here's the thing about walking. If you're totally out of shape, walking will get you stronger. If you just ran a marathon yesterday and you're in super good shape, walking will actually help you be less sore, right? Like, walking's really good whether you're super far along or just starting. And this next thing, share, is super good no matter where you're at with the stuff we're talking about today. What do I mean by share? The verse didn't say give to those in need. It said share with those in need. And giving is great. We talk about giving other places in the Bible. But there's probably been a time in your life where you needed help. You had some sort of pain or hunger, and somebody gave you help. And it alleviated your pain, right? Like, you were able to pay the bill or you were able to eat. Right? It feels good to get rid of the pain, but you probably didn't get super close with the person that gave. It's different when you're going through some sort of struggle and somebody, when you're hungry and someone comes up beside you and is like, I got this pizza, I'm hungry too, let's eat it together. Right? When you share with somebody else, there's less of a shame dynamic, there's way more opportunity to become friends and to do something together. It's not bad to say, like, oh, this stuff's wore out. I want to go buy something better. I'm going to give this away. There's nothing wrong with that. It's different than saying, I really like this. I picked it out for myself, but you need it. And I'll have a little bit less because I want to give it to you, right? This is nice, and I want it for myself, but I'm going to give it to you. That's a different thing, right? We can kind of all see it. Talking about Josh Monk today, but Josh one time's driving, sees somebody barefoot, gets out of his truck, gives him his shoes, right? Like, that's different than just, like, my old wore-out shoes. And now Josh is barefoot for a minute, right? And the other guy has shoes. I mean, that's kind of the idea of sharing, right? It's like, it actually cost me something, but we're in it together. And that's what this is saying. What should we do with our work? What should we do with the abundance that God gives us? It's not just buy more and more and more and get more and more addicted to consuming and just get, like, unhealthy and gluttonous, whether that's, like, with food or stuff or whatever, right? Like, that, it can get unhealthy to consume, consume, consume. But what about when you're blessed, you're like, you know what? Somebody else needs this too. I'm going to share the same sort of stuff that I have, I'm going to share it with them. It's very healthy. I mean, there's a reason, like, God inspired this stuff, right? Like, it's better than what normal people would come up with on their own. Like, sharing to together is going to change us. So that's the basic idea. I'm going to take us a step further because Jesus has got like a great specific command we're going to wrap up with before we pray a blessing and do a baptism. So here's this great command from Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 14. Verses 12 through 14. I want you to think about who's a real friend in your life. Like who's somebody you laugh with, you actually trust, you value what they think of you. Picture that person in your mind. And then I want you to answer, like, honestly, like, what do you share with them? Because when we have a real friendship, normally we share stuff, right? Like, I share, like, cookies that my mom taught me how to make when I'm over, like, some place with people I care a lot about. Like, it's like, this is my best to bring to that place, right? Like, I try to buy Land O'Lakes butter, right? Because it's better than, like, Aldi butter or whatever. You know, like, I'd bring my best to it, right? Like, all the details, right? Because that's sharing, right? It'd be weird if I was like, I don't really like these cookies, but here they are for you, right? I mean, like, that's, like, I don't want to eat something that you made that you don't want to eat, right? But, so Luke 14, 12 to 14, if you don't have time to turn there, here's what it is. Jesus just got hosted by somebody. Somebody had a party over at their house, hosted everybody. Here's what Jesus' specific command to that guy. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. We feel good about ourselves when we are kind to our friends, right? But there's kind of a selfishness in that, right? It just kind of like stays in the circle, right? Here's the Jesus way to do it. He says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Maybe you already don't host people. Maybe you don't even have a place to host people, right? But my guess is there's something you share with somebody you care about. And that's not bad. Don't stop doing that. But what if you shared that same thing with somebody who doesn't have very much? Right? You're like, I'm going to treat them just like I would treat my best friend. I'm going to bring the same thing to them like I'm going to treat them like they're my own immediate family member, right? You do that with somebody in need. That's what sharing is, right? Like, that's what training with Jesus is, doing the stuff he talks about. So, this isn't just a self-help time, right? It's not just like, here's a great idea, go do it. We as Christians, like, we believe Jesus is alive and active, and through the Holy Spirit, he's with us and stuff, right? So, we've got a baptism here in a minute, but I'm going to pray to close out this portion before we have Eddie come up about the baptism, right? So if you're here today and you're like, I want to share with somebody in need. I want to work and have abundance and share. Then I want you to open up your hands and say, like, God, I want your help to do that. So I'm going to pray this blessing over you. It's this verse. It's going to be here on the screen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.